Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Alrighty, the crossover is brought to you by Abundant Life Weight Loss. They know the secret to losing up to 1 pound of fat every day. Go to AbundantLifeWeightLoss.com. Let's welcome in Dan Dibley, Mark Willard. This is the crossover.
Hello.
And nice job yesterday on the Steve Kerr interview. We ended up playing pretty much all that sound. I thought it was extremely interesting. And I texted Dibs in the middle of it with just a wow, because I did feel like he had some interesting things to say about where they think this organization is right now, which I feel is a new piece of news,
which
essentially
begs the question, why did I not get a text? You have my number.
That got awkward in a hurry. Yeah. Well, you famously didn't want a cookie from him.
That's true.
Ordered it on the way back
That's
in.
That's true. But so. I'll make them again.
I'll tell you what it was.
What?
Dibs had texted me, so he was only four down on my text list.
I'm probably I would have had a 133 down as far as you. Like, I don't know. Have you
Such
ever,
a cop out.
Have you ever texted just me?
Yes. Yeah. I have.
Oh?
I have.
Okay.
Anyway, it was a good interview with Kerr, and
I'm gonna text you right now just so we can move.
Organizational white flag, is that what it felt like yesterday?
No, what I said was it was an organizational yellow flag. Like, it's caution. It's a cautionary situation as you head to the deadline. You're not gonna go for the big swing for the big fish, and you may not go for the medium swing for the medium fish. Although I do think what you said earlier, Steiny, and I'll go ahead and elaborate when I have your full attention.
Sure.
But you were mentioning the idea of if you were to acquire somebody at this deadline, the import of it being a younger player, because you have an aging core. So does it really make sense to bring in Vucevic, who I revealed yesterday, guys, which I caught my partner flat-footed when I pointed out that he's actually higher on the all-time points list than Klay Thompson. Nikola Vucevic has scored more points in this league, in our league, than Klay Thompson has.
That's a fact.
Well, Draymond has more threes than Larry Bird, so that one is number one for me.
But it's like,
I would have never thought that.
Stunning.
You could dive into basketball reference and probably find all kinds of surprises, but that's one.
And I do, and there's some neat ones, and the three-point one is especially poignant, and Steve Kerr, as you know, is number one all-time in three-point percentage, and we all know why.
Yeah.
It's because he got fat during the 3 years where the three-point line was basically like the college three, including 1 year where Steve shot 51% from three. And also, Steve barely qualifies in threes attempted, but that's not the point of this. The point of this is, I agree with you, Steiny, it makes more sense to, if you're going to make a trade in February here, acquire somebody who is younger and more athletic, somebody who will be around next year, as opposed to making a big swing for a 35-year-old Jimmy Butler.
I'm also really with you guys, though, where maybe for some, the more interesting conversation here is not what they're saying, it's why.
No doubt. That's been the whole show.
That to me, is a very... and
Something's up, Willard.
Well, and I think, Goo, it's why you and many others sort of got that white flag vibe, because it's why... Like, what did you all say to each other behind the scenes that had you collectively come tell us all of a sudden?
A campaign almost.
Yeah, actually, we're done here. And, you know, like, let's just start talking about how fun it is to watch Steph. And
Steiny used the word, like, it was perfect. It was weird. We had BJ Armstrong earlier today, but it was weird. And it still is.
We'll never know what's said behind the scenes, but I get it if you feel like they got together and went, we got no answers. We're not good enough.
But wouldn't you have gotten together before to, if you're doing the calculus, wouldn't you have, you know what, felt like Dibs, because Dibs thinks they were done coming into this season as far as winning the chip. Did it really take you to get 19-20 for you to have that?
I don't know.
You know what?
Take it from...
I don't think we got it.
I don't know. Take it from a human being who has been in the party of last to know on things throughout life at times. I'll tell you off air what some of them are. But anyway, like, sometimes you're too close to a situation.
Mm.
And when you are the particular in the situation, when you are the person that everyone else is watching and going, oh, he doesn't know that he's not as good anymore. I get it. You might be the last to know. That's a pretty hard pill to swallow.
Wow. And when you start 12-3, it's easy to look at that with a win over OKC and a win over Boston.
Yes.
You look at that and you think, you know what? Maybe we still have action in this West, in this season. And it's funny because I listened to the whole BJ Armstrong. It was a classic driveway moment when something is so good on the radio, you stay in your driveway. I was at BART, so not really my driveway, but listening to you. And actually, I got to the point where you guys had dinner and I almost turned it off, but I was fascinated by you, buddy. Well, that actually hit me too. Like, I've known Steiny for 17 years and not once has he told me he loves me.
But at least he texted you.
Just listening to BJ talk about how the way dynasties end and how they always end and they always end a certain way, he's right, but I just didn't think that it would be this sudden and this year. I thought maybe it would be, okay, next year or the year after. The chef is 39 and all the rest of it. It feels like this is happening more abruptly than what many people had thought.
And maybe I'm the only one in the room that thinks Steph Curry has more left, and I don't want to speak for you because I think he has something left. Michael didn't get the opportunity. Magic was dealing with the HIV. Like, dynasties end when the main guy is really done. And I just don't feel that way with Steph. So, and maybe, Willard, I'm late to the party, Steiny. Maybe the dynasty's over. But when you have the same players and, you know, the number ones, I'm still thinking you got action. And if we're going to go back-to-back years, and I know we're not there yet, of this team not making the playoffs, it's not just the Bay Area. It's TV. Everybody's mad that Steph Curry is not going to be performing in May and June in the playoffs. Like, that's not good for anybody NBA related. And I'm just looking at every day, my own life. But man, nobody wants that to happen.
What do you mean?
Networks don't want that to happen.
Oh, but if they're not good enough, they're not good enough. Like, they're either going to make the playoffs or not.
Right. And that's why fundamentally I just said to you, and Willard, you guys weren't listening, I get what Steiny's saying and anybody about the attrition of Steph and the separation and just getting older. But the bottom line is what's around him is so dire that it makes his slippage become more of an issue.
Fair.
And that's why it's not go get a new Steph, but can we get something better to help Steph? That's all.
Well, what if I said this, though? Because I do hear, and I heard a lot of callers on your show today, start talking about, and this is natural, I think, you go back in time and start looking at the spots where the Warriors could have done better, right? Because Steve Kerr said it yesterday. This is no fault of anyone.
Right.
And I bet there's some people like, wait a minute, Wiseman and Draymond, and he punched. Sure, you can point to all the missteps. Here's where my mind went. What if I asked all of you, what's the decision? Go back 5 years, if you would like, anywhere in the last 5 years. What's the decision the Warriors made that you would have made differently at the time?
And we have hindsight.
Drafting James Wiseman.
Okay, no, but at the time, did you not want James Wiseman then? You wanted LaMelo Ball?
No, I wanted
his family was considered like a problem.
No, but I love that. The best basketball player should have been drafted.
And do you think at that time that that person was not James?
Yes.
You did?
Yeah.
Okay, then to me, If you had that insight,
I'm being real. Yeah,
no, I agree. I have no way of knowing. Yeah. I have no reason to think you're lying. If that was your thought at the time, then I think that that's a fair thing to do. I don't look at any decision they made in the moment it was being made and really think, boy, I was screaming from the mountaintops, don't do that. In other words, when I look at now, there are things about the Warriors' development process of young players that have frustrated people. But I understand why they did that. Mm. Like, they probably have the title 3 years ago because they slowed young player development. And then the following year, where you could argue, oh, you should have gone more in on Kuminga, or you should have gone away from Draymond the second he punched a teammate. Yeah, but we all thought they were still contenders in that moment. And they won a playoff series, went to the conference semifinals, took it to game six. We were all in the same boat that they were in, thinking they were a real competitor. Only starting last year did it start to look kind of silly, And that's precisely when they did start to hand the reins over to Jonathan Kuminga, or at least let him play 25, 30 minutes
a game. And that, to me, is the answer to your question, which is when Draymond punches Poole, and it was, you know, whatever happened, nobody knew, although our colleague Bonte Hill told me off the air, he's like, it's worse than just, because I thought it might have been a classic, like, face wash, and he's
before
like...
Before the video came out.
Right.
I'll never forget
Bonte
that.
Bonte told me...
24 hours, remember that?
Bonte told
Friday
me
morning.
That it, he's hearing that it's worse than that. And I said, okay, maybe it was a slap or whatever, and then we see the video, and then it's ring night, and you don't suspend Draymond Green, so that, for me, if you want to talk about the one thing, because if you would have appropriately suspended him, and that would have made Jordan Poole feel better, maybe the Jordan Poole year and that whole exit works out in a different way.
But they made the playoffs in that year, though.
Yeah, maybe, but I still look at even Jordan Poole now, and now shooting better and whatnot, and there's no way for us to know emotionally what was the effect of the punch or whatever. I still don't look at him now. I know the Warriors need bucket getters, but I don't look at the way he plays basketball as something that quote-unquote fits with Steph and what the Warriors do. It fit when he was off of the bench. In theory now, you're asking for someone to come in and be a two. I don't think that's Jordan.
Well, you got no two. So
yeah, I get
Kuminga
that.
Was kind of becoming the two, but he was, and then he wasn't, and then now he's hurt until the next couple of weeks.
I mean, I'll give you this, because you and I were doing the show at the time.
Yep.
You were among those screaming from the mountaintops at the time.
Yep.
Like Draymond needs a bigger punishment.
I couldn't. Go ahead, Stoney.
What would that have done? I don't know.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, always live on the free Odyssey app, Twitch and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. The one I thought about, and I'll admit, I can't remember what I was thinking at the time, but, the Durant-Draymond thing. Like, why did Durant have to go? And now maybe he wanted to go.
Yeah, I don't. Do you think there's something the Warriors could have done to make him stay?
Well, yeah, I think. What if the Warriors would have said, "Look, KD, we'll get him out of here." I'm not saying.
Yeah,
that was an easy decision they blew at the time.
But did he leave just because of Draymond?
It's a great question. I got to believe he was a factor.
Maybe a factor.
The other thing that I think hit this organization the wrong way was when they won a title. And they extended Wiggins and Poole. And then we found out later that Klay and Draymond wanted extensions that year. So I think that was, why did they extend Poole when he came up, but not Kuminga when he came up?
I mean, look.
And Poole felt like a no-brainer at the time.
Totally. I mean, remember, he and Wiggins are sitting there yelling, "We're going to get a bag." They knew it was a done deal. I sort of do look at it like this, and this is not to just give everybody a free pass through the whole experience, but at a certain point when they win that championship and you still have Steph, Dre, and Klay on the team, and they're four-time champs, and then you have others who are coming up and making
Jordan
names.
Jordan Poole.
And Andrew Wiggins.
Okay.
Like, that changed his profile that whole year. When you have all of that and contractual situations on the table for four out of those five names that we just said, Steph being the only one who was already all locked up for a while, it does kind of feel like a rock band that just had to break up. I don't know how, it's not like the Warriors could just be like, "Sure, here you go, all four of you. You all get exactly what you want." That's not possible. That's why I talk about, would you have made a decision differently in that moment? I would absolutely argue there are very few, if any, Warrior fans who would have advocated in that moment at the parade, time to move off Draymond and Klay. That doesn't feel realistic to me.
No, but it came down. I'm sorry, Stein. It came down to where it was extension time, and Draymond reportedly dashed to the owner's house and got his bag, and then Klay was kind of left holding the bag.
Yeah.
But when it came time for them to get extensions, the Wiggins one was easy because he came in under market.
Totally.
And the Poole one, I think, was easy, too, because it became a tradable piece, Steiny.
The thing about Wiggins now that I look back on that's just kind of wild to me. So he wins a title, and he's played the best basketball of his career for the longest stretch.
2 months.
And he was really good. He had one more year left in his deal. And he took a low ball offer.
4 years and 109.
Or he took a ridiculous, like Jimmy Butler right now is 35. And you could say he's making a mistake. He's walking away from 52.
More than double.
Because he thinks he's going to get more if he opts out.
I think it's, like, it speaks to who Andrew is more than anything we've ever watched on the court.
I agree.
He is so comfortable, and there's nobody sitting there.
I got the most money I need.
But no one's staring at him being like, dude, go be our dog. No one would ever, and he knew that.
Yeah.
No one was ever going to ask him to be that. And sometimes he can be, but it feels to me like he's only comfortable when it's like, you're not demanding that of me, right?
Yeah.
Like, I can do it sometimes, but
he's so good.
I just feel like so often an NBA player will bet on himself. And I think he was set to make 33 the following year. And I remember thinking, he puts together another year like last year.
Gonna be worth 50.
He's gonna right. And then he took 26 or 25, and I'm like,
4-109. So he has a player opt in 2 years for 30. And you know, he'll probably,
I bet he walks away after that.
I walks away from the game.
From the game, or from the Warriors.
No, retire.
Maybe.
I got him retiring.
Maybe.
Yeah, I'm not gonna bet different. Against that.
Look, he's different. He's different.
And nobody's been able to crack the code of getting him.
If you haven't settled with that yet, that's on you.
But it's hurt the team though, Willard.
You could argue that it's helped the team also, right?
Yeah.
Again.
But that scores 10-1.
Maybe.
You know, he did it in 2022. They got the chip. You would have said at that point he earned the contract. And then when you need him most.
That's fair, but couldn't I argue that role that we want him to step into is largely already taken on this organization? You want him to be.
And that would be by who?
Well, Steph and Draymond. Well, like, if you want him to. Right? He was drafted number one overall.
Gotcha.
You're asking that guy to come in and be the face of a franchise. You don't got to do that here. And no one's asking you to. And then on certain nights, we want him to be.
Yeah.
But it's like, no, that's. That job is taken here.
But it made it more frustrating because you were, let's just say, the third name on the marquee, but basketball talent-wise, you were second. But we'll say third. We're really not asking you to do that much, but just be ultra-aggressive.
Yeah.
And that's what hurts when we talk about the enigma, because that's what he is, Andrew Wiggins, man. All the talent. He was the number one pick.
Yeah.
I know why. But if that guy was really that guy more nights than not, where would this team be?
He was set to make 33.6. And instead, he said, tear it up and give me 4 years for 109.
Wow, man.
I mean, and I think Mark's right about the psychology, and I don't know Andrew at all, but
Nobody does.
To me like he's happier being a wallflower, not making huge money, because if he plays for the 33 and then he goes full Jimmy Butler and wants 4 and 160, now you're in the crosshairs if you're making that much money.
Wouldn't you guys argue that is actually the whole flaw with drafts in sports? Is you can look when someone's like that, where like, because Wiggins, I don't know how big of an NBA fan everybody is who's listening, but Wiggins was one of the few people you heard about him well before the NBA draft.
LeBron didn't want him. Yeah.
We knew about it. We knew about him before Kansas. Yeah. We knew about him in high school. He was the damn thing.
Yeah. Maple Jordan.
When somebody has that amount of talent,
thank you.
The only way you can be wrong about him in the draft is if he's wired a little bit differently than others. And that's what you can't figure out. Mm. You can't figure out that stuff to me in a draft. Like, you can talk to a guy, and then you can sort of think, oh, we pull it out of him or whatever, but he's wired different. He's completely wired different than almost all of his teammates, it seems.
Yeah, I would agree with that. It feels like he's an old soul who thinks there's more important things than basketball in life.
Yeah.
Imagine that.
Well, and he's already done pretty well in total career earnings.
No doubt.
I mean, he's going to pull through. But to Mark's point, if you look at the number one overall picks since Wiggins, Karl Anthony Towns, Ben Simmons, Wiggins has had a better career, Markelle Fultz, you take Wiggins, DeAndre Ayton, you take Wiggins, Zion Williamson, you take Wiggins right now as far as career. Anthony Edwards trending toward a better career. Cade Cunningham, I think. He's trending toward having a better.
Yes, sir.
Paolo Banchero, early.
Check.
He's hurt, but he looks like he's going to be a baller. And then you get Wembanyama and Richache, who is obviously a rookie now. But this is the way I think about it as we look at like elongating dynasties. it's almost impossible to do that unless you are the Lakers and you get Kobe Bryant on a platter because he makes it clear he only wants to play with you and you're the number one destination. And the other one is the Spurs. If you look at how they bridged from Duncan
to Kawhi,
all the way to Kawhi.
They hit on their Wiseman.
They didn't draft Kawhi. They traded for Kawhi. The Pacers drafted Kawhi. And they traded George Hill and to the Pacers, and they got Kawhi Leonard. But in the years right after their first title, I was just looking it up, they drafted Manu Ginobili second round, and they drafted Tony Parker in 3 years. So if the Warriors would have found those type of players, which I know is a big ask, then we're talking about different conversations other than 19 and 20.
When was Parker drafted?
Parker was drafted in, I think, 99.
Is he a first rounder?
No, I'm sorry. It was Ginobili in 99, the 57th pick. Tony Parker was the 28th pick.
Yeah, he's the late first.
End of the first. And then after that, they didn't do... they did get Bino Udra.
I'm sorry. Yeah. No doubt.
But they traded George Hill for Kawhi Leonard on a draft night trade, which, again, is... You know, that's what you do. Chestnut checkers.
Now, you've probably all talked to coaches who will say this. I think the hardest thing, because we could all look at tape, and we're doing it right now, college football playoff. You know, you watch Notre Dame play Penn State, and everybody's lined up to be like, "Did you see this guy? Yeah. Tyler Warren." Blah, 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 blah. It's like, okay, I can see that, but what's the dude like? Do y'all remember Bryce Love at Stanford?
Yeah, the running back.
Fourth leading rusher in the history of Stanford.
He was little, though.
And he's incredible, but you could tell in college, he's one that I would argue he sent signals to the league. Because he would talk about, like, I want to be a pediatrician.
Mm.
And great great football talent, but it's like, dude,
I ain't in love
with you're not going to last long in the league. And I think he knew that. And
he was a runner.
He got drafted. He went to Washington. Guess how many years he played?
Was it one or zero?
One.
Yeah.
1 year, gone. He's an angel investor now.
Yeah.
He's wired like... I think maybe Andrew Wiggins.
Well, and Andrew Luck is the other one because he was sending some signals, but he was so unbelievably talented that everybody looked beyond it. But he was clearly a guy who was very smart and had bigger ideas about his life. And he played, 7 years? And he was tired of getting sacked all the darn time, and he just hung him up.
Yeah, thank goodness for Christian McCaffrey, or we would just stay away from them Stanford dudes.
Yeah, no doubt.
How about Barry Sanders?
Yeah.
Although, if you look, Barry Sanders actually played like 10 years.
He played
years.
A long time. You know?
he just happened to retire like 31.
He left when he was still really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And exactly. Not to bring the party down, but I almost got thug tears when you guys asked him about the fires, Coach Kerr.
Oh, God.
And he said that he Ubered. His tradition was anytime they went down south to his mom's house, they would have the house he grew up in, and they would have dinner. And that just hit me like, man, just that's gone. You know, the house that you grew up in, but that was your thing. No matter what it was, I'd go see mom's Uber, and we'd have dinner. I was like, man, that hit me in the cardiac.
Can you imagine being him right now? And I would ask every Warrior fan to think about it. Imagine this, right? This is all going down. Your mom has been displaced. The house you grew up in is gone. Probably half the people you grew up around, their houses are gone. And you haven't even been able to go visit. And you are coaching basketball and people are coming down your road.
Oh, man.
Because you lost to the Raptors.
Wow,
like, that's, and I'm not saying that's wrong. That's life in pro sports. That's fine. But I just, like, I'm with you. Yeah,
he was agitated the other night, too, when you knew it was probably 90% of this.
You wonder how much of it is this.
But, yeah, he said that. You guys, I said, oh, man, life, man.
I mean, he sounded to me in the conversation yesterday sad.
Yeah.
And I get it. I get it. Work's not going well. And personal life's not going well. I get it.
Well, and it's your whole, like, memories, your town. It's, Reading, Pennsylvania. It's Union City.
Yeah, no
it's
doubt,
Foster
man.
City. It's Fairfax. Imagine if your entire town is gone. Like, the ice cream shop where you used to go and bebop around, or the pizzeria where you used to get a slice.
Like, that's scary, man.
Yeah, all that. I mean, it's multiple levels. It's, his mom. It's all your friends' houses. It's the entire town itself. And like Mark said, not even being able to go there and, you know, at least go to your old house or go see how mom's is doing, you know?
Don't give mom a hug.
Yep.
Man.
Yep.
All right, gents. Well, you did a great job with Kerr yesterday, and you got Nick Friedell coming in.
For a whole hour.
Yeah.
He's in the room with us. It's also Cosell Day.
The
Niners are done, but
what
the NFL's
time for
not.
Cosell?
In exactly an hour. In exactly an hour. And you know. Those fireworks come when they sell. You never know where that's going to go.
Oh, yeah. Last week, he gave me that's a good question.
Oh,
so, I'm right.
I was asking all year.
Dude.
But what,
you're not
what a
kidding.
Relationship
you're
that's
not
blossomed.
Kidding. Yeah,
2025
I mean,
could be different.
It was a high watermark for me. I'm riding high off of that, but which means I'll be coming crashing down to earth here in an hour. No
all
doubt.
Right, gents. Well, it's all happening right here on 95.7, The Game.
Mm-hmm.